You're tuned into Madiba's Radio, broadcasting live from Nelson Mandela University.
I have fought against white domination. And I have fought against death domination. I have studied the idea of a democratic and free society, in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunity. It is an idea which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an idea for which
Nelson Mandela University. Change the world. You're tuned into Madiba's Radio. Changing the world, one voice at a time.
Once again, another week, another way of having an iconic week with Science Package and Law Show.
What it do?
Yeah, on Madiba's Radio podcast, where we connect, inform, and engage. Of course, introduce myself. My name is Kitello Ndlovu, the brightest star on the airwaves. Once Tlix is on your airwaves, nothing will ever be the same.
Ever.
And of course, I'm not alone. I'm with the iconic, the glamorous. Just, you know, listen.
You know,
winning, like.
Yeah, my name is Katlego Mofokeng. I'm also known as Girl with the Nice Pants on the Instagram streets, and I am one of the two people that are brought to bring you the best news you'll ever hear.
Period. Because mm-hmm. There's a lot to cover today, actually.
Yo.
Like, a lot is going on.
And it's mess and it's drama.
Literally.
Does it ever end?
Like, it's just, every week, it's just like, we're flowing, and we're just like, what's going on in the world?
We're consistently fed. I love this for us.
I mean, it is like nice to have the juice, you know?
Yeah, like, it really is. Like, I think it's cool that we talk about it. Mm. It's sad that it sucks that it's happening for other people.
True.
So sorry. But like, journalism is just all about, I guess, letting the people know. And I mean, the people want to know.
Definitely, the people do want to know what is going on the streets. Because, hey.
What's popping? Let us know. What's going on?
Now, I feel like, do you want to start with good news? Or do you want to start with bad news? Well, there's good news, there's two good news, and there's a bad news.
I have all bad news, so let's definitely start with the good.
Okay, let's start with the good news.
Let's just start with the good.
Like, I feel like we should go into the construction industry, because mm-hmm. I feel like one thing about South Africa, there's always some sort of construction happening.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a new mall or it's a new, I don't know. Something's always being built.
Even estates nowadays.
Hey!
There's so many of them being built. Houses that all look the same.
Literally.
What a time.
And that's also another topic itself. But today we are celebrating an iconic woman, because we recently at the CIDB Awards, which celebrates construction, basically,
mm-hmm.
Sanele Ndlovu, a project manager at Magma Corp Project Managers from KwaMashu, was honored with the Power and Recognition of Women in Construction Award.
Wow.
Now, that's a big feat.
Like, especially because of the fact that construction and architecture more often than not is like male-centered.
True.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very like male-centered industry.
Yeah.
And it's like the fact that she's winning awards. And not only that, she secured second place in Youth Empowerment and Mentorship Program category and third in the Woman Contributor of the Year.
What? Oh, she walked away with awards.
Like, she was like, I'm taking it
like
all.
Like, she
I'm
scooped it all up.
Literally.
She said, I'm leaving here with something.
Literally. And it's so, like, amazing to see. Because, firstly, to be honest, I didn't know. I knew that there were awards in every industry.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that, like, there was, like, construction awards specifically.
I would never have thought, honestly.
So, when I found out, I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Right?
Period. Like, and just the fact that you can walk away with so many accolades, and regardless of what you do, you can still be honored for that.
Yeah.
So I think that's amazing, because she also like spoke about her journey, her personal journey as a woman leader, and how she wants to motivate other women and other youth as well. Because in as much as the construction space is growing, when it comes to youth opportunities, it can be a bit tough.
Yeah.
You know, youth unemployment and like the dilemma of we need experience, but we also need a degree.
Yeah.
So what
so how do you manage the two with a degree and then you need experience, but in order for you to get experience, you need the job, but now the job is saying you need experience.
Like,
it's so much red tape. It really is. It's so hard for people to just like get jobs properly. Even internships sometimes require experience. So,
and that's crazy. Actually.
Like I'm trying to get experience. Please hire me.
Honestly, like because it's like, where are you supposed to get this experience?
Actually,
like
facts.
Like, and it's like, okay, they say, you know, you must do volunteerships. And, you know, that's good too. But, like, also financially.
Yeah, I need to live off something. So, I need money to be alive in order for me to come to work. So how does that happen?
Exactly. So it's just, it just so speaks about larger how the system in general just has a lot of cracks and flaws. And they want this, but they're not willing to give you that and that. And it's like, child, like, will we ever win?
Yeah. But like, Big Sis is actually coming through for us, man. I love the fact that she's got those awards. That says a lot. It also says that she's making a really, really big change in her community.
Definitely.
That's telling.
And it's really amazing because even as she said, when one woman rises, she must hold the door and open for others.
Yes.
And that's on period.
So important.
Because also, as much as Women's Month is over, I feel like it should be every month.
It really should be.
Like, every month.
We
like,
really should just be celebrated every month. Come on now.
Like, come on.
Like, have you seen women?
Exactly.
Don't get me started.
So, Women's Month should be every month and, you know, always be celebrated because at the end of the day, as she said, got to open the doors.
Yeah.
Keep those doors open because once you close them,
it gets very, very murky.
Yeah, it gets very, very murky. So, it's like, in conclusion, I would say, Miss Anela and Love, we wish you the best. Congratulations on your feat because, listen, that's honorable. That's amazing. That's iconic.
That's the best way to start this month, actually.
Literally.
With accolades by women that are doing amazing things that are also groundbreaking.
True.
That is very interesting, especially considering the fact that now we just have bad news left for you.
Yes.
As kisini.
Yeah.
Siyazama kodwa niyabona ukuthi
kunzima. There's a lot going
Nothing
on.
Is cute. Let me tell you my bad news now. The Commission of Inquiry, the Madlanga Commission of Inquiry, is supposed to be starting today.
Oh.
But it's not.
Mind
you, like, everybody is salivating to hear what happens, to know what's going to go on. And unfortunately, they haven't been able to secure certain types of infrastructure. For those of you who do not know what I'm talking about, I'm going to give you some background.
Yeah, let's give us some background.
You
on
know,
it,
yeah. Over the past 2 decades, South Africa has been rocked by allegations of corruption, state capture, and political interference in the justice system. From Inkandla to the Zondo Commission of Inquiry, we've seen patterns of abuse. Now, the Madlana Commission of Inquiry is a judicial commission set up to investigate alleged corruption within South Africa's criminal justice system. Its origin is from the 6th of July, 2025.
July was so far back.
Right?
So,
like,
in 2 months, you could organize the
You could have done some things.
Like, come on.
Like,
now.
Come on. So, KwaZulu-Natal Police Commissioner Lieutenant General Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi held a media briefing alleging that a sophisticated criminal syndicate had infiltrated police, intelligence, prosecutors, and even courts. In response to those explosive allegations, President Cyril Ramaphosa established the commission by proclamation on the 23rd of July. Over a month has passed since he proclaimed it.
True.
So, you know, you could make some moves from then on. Ay, shem. Now, the commission is headed by retired Concord Justice Mbuyiseli Madlanga, which explains the Madlanga Commission of Inquiry.
Yeah.
And it was given strict terms of reference. It is to investigate and report on the veracity, scope, and extent of Mkhwanazi's claims, examining everything from SAPS to the National Prosecuting Authority to correctional services. And legally, it even has a tight deadline. An interim report is expected within 3 months and a final report after 6 months from its hearing. So from 3 months of the 23rd of July, August, September, October. By October, they're supposed to be done and they haven't even started in September now.
Huh? They're not locked in. It's
murky.
Like, come on.
What do you mean? And what is going to happen if they really don't stick to what it is that they're doing? I mean, everybody, once they heard that a lot of these things were happening, these criminal syndicates were happening, everyone was like, wait, what is the president going to do?
True.
And when they asked him in a media interview, he was like, I don't know what's going on. I've been overseas. When I get back, I'll deal with it. And then he had the press conference and he was just like, Commission of Inquiry, guys. Since then, everybody's been mute. But since then, we've heard about Cat Matlala.
Hey.
Cat Matlala, I'm sorry. Cat Matlala is a alleged murderer.
Ooh.
Now, Cat Matlala has a bit of scandals because you'll remember one of the Patriotic Alliance's head honchos was found at his house when he was arrested. Kenny Kune.
Hey,
we all remember that scandal.
Everything is linking
we
now.
We all know what was happening during that time. Everything was murky. Oh, but it doesn't end there.
Ooh, the tea is popping.
Do you remember the previous head of police? Big Gail.
Yes.
It is alleged that there is a reported hundred calls between him and Cat Matlala.
Ooh.
Why are you calling a criminal? As the head of police.
Come on now.
What do you mean? Please. He is an alleged murderer. What are you doing calling him back and forth 100 times? What are you guys talking about?
100 times is insane.
Right?
Like, that's more than personal.
That's crime syndicate type thing. Like no.
Come on now.
That is insane. So if we're just finding out now that these people are linked to just this one person, how much more are we going to find out within the Commission of Inquiry?
Literally, because as time is moving, like, everything just keeps on unraveling and unraveling. Everybody's connected. This one is doing shady things. That one is also doing shady things. And now with the commission, it's like, will it even be, like, rolled out at some point?
Will it? Like, that's the question. Also, though, I can imagine there's a balancing act that has to be done.
Mm.
I mean, we could publicize the Commission of Inquiry, and it makes sense because the public needs to know what's going on. But what about the witnesses? How do you protect them? Because if it's a crime syndicate that is capable of going into Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi's offices and saying, give me all of the files and dockets that you have, which is why he actually went on air to be like, look, this is what's happening. These people are actually trying to silence us and keep us quiet. If they're capable of that, what more could they do to those witnesses?
True. It puts them in a tricky position.
It really does.
And it's like, the question is, would the government or the law system protect them?
And how well would they protect them?
True.
How have they protected anybody else? I mean, look at the Mayiwa case. People have been dying within that case. But then again, it's been like over 10 years with us doing this. So it's understandable. Like, you know, some people, honestly, their demise isn't really linked to the case. But others, it's just like, guys.
Something is going on.
Something's culling, but it's not black label.
And even with the Mayiwa case, it's like, it's been going on for 10 years. It's actually crazy.
It's been going on for a very long time. And we still have no clear story on what is going on.
True. It's like you hear different stories. One saying, oh, this one. Other one says that. And you're just like,
it's been too much. Honestly, the trial itself having started, then they had to change judges.
Yo.
Then from changing judges, people had to change lawyers. Then from changing lawyers, now one person says, guys, it looks like the evidence you have is just not worth it.
Mm.
And he's like, count me out. So under Section 174 of the Constitution, this guy, Umaphisa, accused number 4, is saying there is insufficient evidence to prosecute him. Mm. And so they've submitted this and are hoping that, you know, maybe he will be cleared of these charges. But it doesn't really matter or anything because he's serving a life sentence for a separate crime.
True. So it's like either way.
So it's like, Chomi, you're in jail. You're in jail already. I mean, fair that you probably don't want to be known as the Senzo Miwa killer. Understandable. But like, you're still going to jail.
So
like,
it doesn't have that impact.
You're going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
That's your home now.
Like, you're going to live there and you're going to pass there. And
just vibe.
You know?
Yeah. So there's a lot happening, honestly, within like legislation and within our trials. But the Matlala Commission of Inquiry starting late is so worrying.
It is.
It really is worrying because how long are you going to drag this out? If they're saying from 3 months on, in October, that's when they close it. Then from 6 months off from October is what? November, December, January, February, March, April. By April, they're supposed to have a full report. And they haven't started. Oh no, it's not looking good.
Is there even going to be a report at the end of the day?
Like, what's going to be the point of this? I really want to see people arrested. I really want to see just how deep it goes, but I don't think we're going to get to see it.
That's the unfortunate part.
I don't think that the commission is going to do. I mean, look at what the Zondo Commission of Inquiry did.
You know,
like what a joke, my darling. We have the report. There's like two stacks of papers on it. And that report itself, it's damning, but it doesn't do anything.
Because
no one's been prosecuted.
People can't carry on living their lives.
And people have been killed in trying to pursue justice and still nothing.
True. So it's like, it's quite sad to think about.
Mm.
And it's like, I hope that this commission, like, inquiry kind of makes a change. But realistically, if it's very delayed.
And it's not even delayed because they found a venue and it was free of charge. They said a government building in Pretoria is going to be where they're going to hold it. And they were like, we're not going to charge you for it. However long you need it for, go ahead. Do you know what they're shorting? It's things like hearing equipment.
Hearing equipment
and sound equipment and like computers and the like,
but this is the
let's
is
be
the
so government. For real, like, right now. Like,
come on,
you can't tell me that you're stumped by that.
Like, come on,
these people could take money from Brasa, but just for a commission of inquiry. But apparently, it's looking like a lot of sometimes government officials are actually interfering with it, they're actually making bureaucratic red tape. So we can understand that if they're stalling it, there's something that they're hiding.
True.
And it's about to be very big.
Big. Because it's like, why are you hiding?
Exactly. What is it that you're hiding? Why are you stalling this process so much?
Because if you know you're innocent, it would have already happened, you know?
Yeah.
But now that it's looking a bit shaky, it's like,
I am side-eyeing. One thing about me, I'm side-eyeing Bekele. One thing about him, that noise he was making over the past months. And now look at him. Back to back calls with the murderer.
And he's out here acting like all is well.
Exactly.
Like, sir. So, like, come on now.
Disappointing, to say the least.
Honestly.
Please tell me your bad news. I'll come back with mine afterwards.
Yeah. This is
so bad. I can take a breather. So I can actually start crying with you.
Because it's a lot.
Oh, Lord.
It's a lot. But my bad news involving it's Ford South Africa.
The cars.
Now, recently, Ford has planned to lay off approximately 470 employees.
What?
470 is a lot of people.
Oh, my goodness.
They're going to lose. And it's like 391 of them are going to lose their employment in like the Silverton plant in Pretoria, while 73 at the Struandale one here in PE.
Oh, wow.
And 10 administrative roles.
Yo,
I was just like, Ford, what's going on?
What do you mean? Like, how are they downsizing this much? Are they not making sales?
Because they are, but they're trying to kind of diversify around the globe.
Okay.
To have, like, instead of, because although, like, the automation industry, it does have a bit of obstacles when it comes to the domestic market in terms of, like, exporting and, like, production here.
Okay.
But Ford, like, as a company, like, internationally, feels as if like, let's rather import the cars inside.
Wow. Africa,
rather than like making like
the things cars and then here. Just like exporting them. That's scary.
It is. Like it is. Because even in the past 2 years, in the automotive industry in general, 4,000 jobs have been lost. Like.
But the thing with importing is economically, it's just not sound.
True.
Because, I mean, if it's going to increase the unemployment rate, then we're going to face a very, very big problem. Who is going to buy all of these cars you're trying to import?
Exactly.
Like, where do you think you're going to generate the money? And especially considering the fact that, like, the guys, you can understand, cars are literally what makes up South African youth.
Literally.
They live and die by cars. Like, that's their vibe.
And I always thought that Ford wasn't, yes, they are the more expensive. They have expensive cars, but I always thought they're the more like the middle range, the more affordable type.
Yeah, your Ford Fiesta. You know the vibes.
So now they also just like, now we're pulling out. It's like, okay, so is a Ford Fiesta going to cost
an arm and a leg? Because those are import taxes, all of that. Oh, also where are we going to be importing from?
That's a great question. Because I know basically they're based all around the world,
mm-hmm.
but they're looking like, we're about to import from the US. And then it also brings in the question of the US tariff.
Exactly.
So, and you know, the US has a very tricky relationship with South Africa.
Especially that orange man.
Hey.
That orange man is just going to be an even bigger problem. The fact that he knows he might have the automotive industry in his palm.
Literally. It's like, it's crazy.
What?
Like, it's so sad because the manufacturing sector, despite accounting for only a portion of the GDP, is like key for job creation in SA. So if it goes down, hey.
I'm just imagining it's just the people who are going to be selling the cars that are going to be there. But even then, servicing the cars, what about that?
That's another thing.
How do you maintain the vehicle's integrity?
Because I know, like, with certain brands, like, you know, Mercedes and, like, BM, sometimes servicing is expensive because now you need to import parts.
Oh!
And now it's like, all of a sudden, you pay, like, 100K just because your brakes are looking shaky.
Imagine!
Like...
And you also know you can't take it to the hood because they might just strip your car... Or something else might actually end up being a problem. It's not looking good for us. Why is this happening when we are at this age?
That's my
question. When we're at car buying age, cars are doing funny things.
I also wonder, like, back in the day, they used to not do these things. Now, but I will say there is hope because recently, actually, like, I was scrolling on TikTok the other day and I saw that Tata, remember the Tata cars?
Yeah.
They're coming back.
Back?
They're coming
back. Please tell me they're innovative.
They innovated this time. They're in the SUV space.
Ooh.
They're like, I think they're trying to compete with the Omodas and the Havals.
Yeah.
The affordable SUV that still looks classy.
Because
I saw like their new cars and I was like, oh, this looks cute actually.
They might be onto something.
So they might be onto something. Who knows?
Bye, Ford. Hello, Tata.
Like, come
actually,
on now.
If you're going to leave, leave. Bye.
Because I know like some people feel very averse to like Haval and Armada because it's like, yes, they're new cars, but it's more so of like, do they last a long time in the market? How much is their resale value? Is it like Toyota where it's like you can own a Toyota for 20 years and it's still valuable?
Toyota, shame. Especially Itez.
Hey!
Yeah, what about Itez? Oh, wow, what a car.
What a car.
What a babe.
So
it's going to be very interesting, I guess. But like, I'm so worried about the people who are going to lose their jobs.
Literally. Like, I'm still on that because it's like, where, if they lost their jobs, what must happen?
Yo. Because, I mean, the Eastern Cape, especially considering everything, it is one of the poorer provinces in the country.
True.
So, if, I mean, 10 people, too many, it might not seem like much. But even those 10 people struggling to feed their children is very, very difficult. Now, in Pretoria, 391, you said?
Yeah.
Yo. Kopitori, of all places. Yeah, no, it's going to be very worrying to see what happens.
Definitely. Especially because even like when you think of like Nelson Mandela Bay, Ford is now looking shaky. Volkswagen is also looking shaky. Goodyear is also looking shaky. So
what does this mean? Because they employ quite a lot of people.
Yeah, that they're basically carrying PE by its...
Actually, like, because this is where they're made more often than not, right? Oh, that's heartbreaking.
So
that's
now,
actually very worrying.
And already, as you said, we're struggling here in Eastern Cape.
Yo, the crime rates are atrocious. So what more now when people are losing their jobs?
What must happen?
Like, and that's the thing is we look at it like, oh no, crime is as a result of people just not knowing how to act. Corruption is deep-seated. But crime is as a result of the fact that people have no other alternative.
Exactly.
They literally don't know what else to do. They have no money. There's no jobs out there. And now people are being retrenched. Imagine. During the month, during the year.
You're also going to, if you were in that position, you'd also be like, you know what, let me steal a phone or
you
something.
You know, let me get a few laptops here and there.
You know, to
make ends meet.
Because, come on.
Oh, it's shaky, man. I really do wonder what's going to happen, especially if we don't get enough of our GDP. You can imagine our budget next year is about to be stretched very thin.
Really?
And like the annual, you know, when they hit us with the budget plan every year. Look at what happened with our budget plan this year.
Hey.
It was delayed twice over and over again. And then finally, when it was put forth, it was just like, people have already just not cared about it.
Exactly.
But like, there's money that's been taken from certain sectors to make sure that other sectors are taken care of.
Hmm.
So it's very worrying.
Because now it's like, how do you go about prioritizing which sectors need the most help?
Exactly.
Because you may put money towards one sector and then you negatively disadvantage the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, now nothing's balancing anymore.
Yeah, we need to do better. And also, we can't always say entrepreneurship is the best way to go, because you know how difficult it is to start a business?
Ooh.
The startup capital necessary, so, just in general.
It's a lot by itself.
And you're competing with AI.
That's another thing.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
Like, people always say, you know what, I'm just gonna make fat cooks and just sell them and make money. I mean, it's a profitable business, but it's like, at the same time, there's a lot of politics that go into it.
Absolutely.
Where are you selling them? Where you could gain the flour and stuff?
Yes.
Are you understanding the market?
Do you know how expensive oil is?
Hey,
let's just start there. Do you know how expensive oil is? To be frying everything, you can't reuse it. People are gonna see, they're gonna feel it, they're gonna taste.
So
I feel really, really bad for just like what our country is looking like.
Definitely.
I mean, unemployment really is something really, really high. And I think along with unemployment is the entertainment industry. Because if it's looking murky within the automotive industry, you can imagine the creatives. Recently, we lost Umam Nandinyembe.
Yo.
She was amazing in Zone 14.
Literally icon.
Like she really, really was amazing. And people more, I think the older, I don't want to say the older generation because I'm probably same age as them, but the older generation knew her from like the morning show, you know, on what is it? YoTV. That vibe.
Mm.
Yeah. So people were sharing that and it was like, oh, this is so cute. And she passed away. But now reports have come and it's just been like, no one is supporting the art so much so that she died a pauper. No one was taking care of her. And when she was sick while she was still alive, no one helped. And people were shooting at Gayton McKenzie and being like, you're Minister of Arts and Culture. How are you showing up for artists?
Literally.
Like, what do you do for artists? And he was like, first of all, let me stop you right there. I gave her 10 stacks to go to the hospital.
Oh.
And now after she... And I provided a driver. And he's like, now I came through to the funeral and said, here's 10 stacks for cake and tea.
Mm.
And I moved her body from the state mortuary to a private mortuary. And it's like, yeah.
You know, we appreciate the effort.
You're dealing with just one aspect of things, though. Because, like, yeah, treating her like a queen when she's dead. Absolutely, we understand it. But, like, what about this artist that are right now living?
Literally, so many of them, the whole industry as a whole.
Exactly. And you'll see, like, there was rumors that Uzola was just not doing well. And there was videos of him a couple of years back.
Mm.
Patrick Shai, unfortunately, committed suicide. And there's still Umenzi Ngubane who said, look, after operation, I was inside. I was on that set fully prepared to just deliver for generations. What does this mean?
True.
If the entertainment industry is just not willing to take care of its people, then what must happen? And the person that's holding out is your president. Because there are two bills your president is supposed to be signing.
What are those bills?
Oh, it's such a murky thing. Copyright Amendment Bill and the Performers Protection Amendment Bill. Now, the Copyright Amendment Bill basically deals with updating law so that artists, actors, writers, and musicians actually benefit from their work. Especially in the digital era where content is streamed and shared and monetized globally. Now, the Copyright Amendment Bill deals with things like royalties, fair use, and ownership of intellectual property.
Okay.
Whereas the Performance Protection Amendment Bill focuses on performers making sure that their work is used in reruns, adverts, online, and they're compensated.
Ooh.
So with Copyright Amendment, basically, they're saying that schools and people who are blind, they can change books or certain types of media and obviously cater to people who are physically disabled so that they're able to just, you know, take in this information and whatnot, which is a great thing.
It is.
We want accessibility for everybody, but it relinquishes the... How can I say it? It really... You don't really have to ask for permission from the artist. So if I write a book and they decide, okay, Angie Motshekga says, I don't even think she's Minister of Education anymore.
Isn't she part of defense?
That's how long we've been alive. Oh my goodness, I'm so used to being Angie's child.
Literally. Like, so
I knew Angie for basic. Blade for hire. That's it.
Now that's
and
shifted.
Now things have changed and it's like, oh, okay, I see what's going on, but okay. Because hey. The recent one was also moved. But in any case, if I write a book and they decide, okay, we're going to use your book inside the curriculum for schools, they don't really have to ask my permission to take that book. And then if they decide to change it into Braille, they don't have to ask for my permission for that. Now, the question is, okay, yes, it's accessible for people and schools, but what more about the person who owns the intellectual rights to this body of work?
True.
How do they get compensated? I mean, they make money from sales and they need to be compensated for their intellectual property. So it's kind of murky in that sense. So Cyril's been sending it back to the Constitutional Court to just ask, is this constitutional? Understandable. We love this.
You know,
the main problem is the protection, the performers protection amendment bill. That's where the issue is. So you know how we've got SABC Plus, you've got your Showmax, your Netflix and whatnot.
Yeah.
By right, you're supposed to receive royalties for the shows that you are on.
Exactly true.
In order for you to be able to, you know, get some residuals, get some money from it. But that's not what's happening in South Africa.
Where
currently, people don't get paid. Zone 14 is up on SABC Plus. All these other shows, like old shows from SABC, they're up on SABC Plus, free to use and see and stream. And these people are not being paid.
That's unfair.
Like, you got paid when you were working there. Now that it's online, you're not getting paid for how many viewers are watching it.
Especially if you consider, like, let's say, like, the show was like, it did okay back then when it was but what if it's a cult classic now?
Exactly. Because we know a lot of people kind of reference old work more often than not. Like, people, I mean, look at Ulele, the song itself. Like, when it first came out, it was great, but not a lot of appreciation for it. Look at it now. It's back on the charts, doing numbers. So can you imagine then if a performer was just not getting money from all those streams? They just got paid for doing the song and called it a day.
It's like, how will you be able to maintain yourself?
Exactly. Which explains why a lot of the artists are saying, he's not signing this bill and he's questioning its constitutionality. But what happens to us in the meantime? And also, what does it mean if they apply it retroactively? Because if they're saying, we're going to let's apply it retroactively, it means for all the times in the past that they've been airing these shows, you must pay.
Ooh.
All those reruns, all those things, you need to pay. And now the government is like, but now you're going to be sucking us dry. And it's like, you don't think you're doing that to artists? It's
like, come on now.
What must happen now? So a lot of people are fighting it, but Cyril Ramaphosa is refusing to sign these until they go back to the Constitutional Court and are declared constitutional, which is going to take forever and a day.
And I feel like we need answers now.
Exactly.
Because the more that we prolong this, the more that the artists and the creators struggle.
Yes.
Because it's so unfair to see that a lot of South African creatives, they work on one thing, they get the money now and then, and even the money that they do get, like,
it's barely enough.
Literally. Because you would think that, you know, for example, you're an actor on the most popular soapy in the country, but the amount of money you're getting is just,
it's nothing.
Nothing. So imagine afterwards, considering how unstable the industry is.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know whether you're going to get your next gig tomorrow, 2 years from now.
And like, how do you even make plans for yourself and your family? True. How do you buy a house? How do you get a car? What happens? Because Nambitha Mpumlwana, she used to play Umawande on Generations.
Yeah.
And she was explaining, I think with Eyewitness News, if I'm not mistaken, if not Newsroom Africa, she was saying how on Generations, the 10 people that like were fired from Generations were fired obviously for protesting against the fact that their contracts said they were freelancers. They were not employees. So your Sophie Ndabas, your Connie Fergusons, who had been working at Generations for years, were still deemed not as employers. I mean, employees. They were freelancers.
Imagine.
Imagine being a freelancer for like 10, 20 years.
Come on now.
On Generations.
Ha. I would think that would be a permanent position.
Like, exactly. And also, if people decide to step away from it, it's like, okay, fine, I quit my job. But now if you're saying I quit freelancing, it's crazy.
Because now it's like, it just, I feel like in that context now, it's like, they're not taking you seriously now.
They're really not.
They're just exploiting it. Okay, we can throw you at any point in time.
And I mean, look at now the quality of the work that they put out. Hey. It's very telling because, wow. I don't even know who watches it still because I have no context. Anytime I see the clips, I'm just like, I don't know what this is, but I know it's a mess.
Yeah, a lot is going on.
There's too much happening.
It's like,
a mess. mess. And I think that is very telling that these people no longer care about the quality of the work that they put out because they're just trying to make a profit.
Yeah.
And they're trying to exploit these people, run them dry for as long as they can, and then keep it pushing.
And I feel sad for the actors because it's like a both ends. It's a tough situation. You stay and get exploited,
mm-hmm.
or you like resign and just remain broke.
Yeah. And, then they blackball you in the industry.
Literally, that's happened. Another thing. So it's a lose-lose situation.
You can't even speak out against these companies, I think. That's also the worst part about it is, like, you could be going through the absolute worst. The worst thing about it for celebrities is, you know you're a celebrity because you're on TV and everybody's seen you. And then people have had it where they're sitting in a taxi and people are like, "Hey, boo, aren't you famous? How are you in a taxi with us right now? Keep it 25, Nati. Ukali chenchi.
How?
Chani." And it's like, well, if you actually knew what these people were going through, you'd understand why they're in a taxi with you. Like, keep alayo 25.
Because
it's not looking good. And I feel really, really bad. And I wonder how long it's going to take. And the worst thing about it is Gator McKenzie seems very, very quiet about it.
Yeah, he's all of a sudden, he's just like, "Ooh, this don't involve me, exactly. child." And it's like, sir.
And he's number one when people win at sports.
Literally.
He leads the way forward. He's out here living his best life. And nothing. Nothing for artists and you know, and actresses. So it's very worrying.
It is very worrying and it's very crazy. I mean, it also reminds me, like, in another media space where, in like the radio space, when they offered one radio presenter like 2,000.
Yes, I remember that story.
I was also like,
like side-eyeing, because what do you mean, guys? How do you provide for yourself? Transport alone is about to just chow that money.
Literally.
It's just not going to make it. Barely covers rent.
So it's just like, it just shows how exploitative the industry can be.
It really can be. And it's worrying because you think about it and you're like, I mean, look at how many people are studying BA MCC. So what does that say about all these graduates? What's going to happen to them? How are they going to be treated once they get into an industry that they're so passionate about they went to school for? What about those experiences that they have on these sets?
And it's like, do they suck it up? But they can't protest.
That's the thing.
So
now you can't be blackballed. You're scared of that. You're scared of a lot of things. Speaking out is just not an option for them. And that's heartbreaking.
It is. Like, it's so heartbreaking. Because now it just takes away the love and the craft of it. Because now it's like, imagine you are an aspiring actor. You're just like, I love to express myself on the screen. But because your director's problematic, the production company now is exploiting you. Mm-hmm. Now also you're getting dragged on Twitter. Oh, you're like
of all of the things, you have so many problems and Twitter's just like, Mara, that dress, my sister.
Like, it's just like,
I have enough problems. Wait a minute. Stop adding to them. Oh my word. Yeah, no, I don't know. I think for the longest time, you know, I never really imagined myself in the space that I'm occupying right now. And it's never been because of the fact that, like, it's viewed as not profitable. But it's also just always been because it's a craft.
Yeah.
It's important that, like, you treat this like a craft. You gain the experience. You do the actual work. So I always figured, I don't think I'm competent enough to do it. But, I mean, working here at Madiba's Radio allows you that opportunity to do that. But now when you think about the greater industry and getting into it, it's like breaking into this just seems like the biggest problematic thing you could possibly do, because what do you gain?
True.
What do you gain from this?
And it's like also that other potential of losing yourself.
Exactly.
Or having to sell out, basically.
And what does that mean for you as a person? Literally. Like, when you are really passionate about something like this, like, what does it mean for you? I don't know how it is. Like, I think breaking into the industry is something that, like, scares me ultimately. And it's mainly because of the fact that Johannesburg is a different beast.
It is.
Johannesburg is a different beast. Breaking into the industry there, it's murky waters. Especially now that they're talking about the fact that people get hired based off how many followers they have on Instagram.
Child, Hi.
Guys, me, I don't know how to use a phone.
So now, what must I post?
All this picture taking and whatnot. That's also another thing. Digital marketing is its own industry. And now we, as like the ordinary layman, are using digital marketing ourselves. And it's just like, but do you know how to market yourself?
Self.
That's the hard thing. How does work ethic also mean recognition? Like, how do you balance the two?
Because that's a lot to put on one person.
Yeah.
So, and now in Joburg, where they say, hey, also people are not very nice.
They're not. Joburg people are terrible humans.
Oh.
Joburg is horrible. Pretoria is where it's at.
Yeah, Pretoria.
Oh, Pretoria. People in Pretoria are so amazing. You make like a friend at the door. This, I met a girl when I was at a party.
Mm.
She literally joined us for a second location. I'm like, are you not fearing for your life? What do you mean you're coming with us to a random house?
How? Because in Joburg, you would never do such.
Absolutely not. But absolutely not. You're definitely getting trafficked. If you're going to a second location with people you don't know,
no.
You're definitely getting trafficked. Sit still. But don't do it.
But in Pretoria.
In Pretoria, anytime is tea time.
Time, like, come on, let's all get down.
Let's get it together. Let's go vibe. Yeah, it's just worrying.
So it's just the fears we have as creatives in the industry. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, though, for your career? Where do you envision your career taking you?
You know, I've been thinking about that a lot. And, you know, in as much as I am scared of, you know, the breaking into the industry and, you know, the pressures and the challenges that come with it, I always want to keep an optimistic attitude and just be like, you know what? Everything will just work out.
I mean, yes, you absolutely.
Know? And not having to, like, you know, not to say that, you know, I should be above these things, because sometimes, you know, it is what it is.
It'd be like that.
Sometimes you're going to have to just, oh, okay, I guess I got to comply here. What can I say? Especially because I'd also love to go international.
Ooh, I see that for you.
Thank you.
I see that.
So I feel like, but then also that's another conversation.
Yeah.
That's a whole other conversation.
Because breaking into that market is already a problem.
So it's like, so do you skip? But then why are you skipping? Like,
and how are you going to get the support from people back home? And
You see,
it's just balance.
So it's just like every day I'm like, you know, just make gradual steps and just make sure to, you know, work on the craft, have a love for the craft. And also when you can, try by all means to put yourself in spaces that really allow you to kind of gain opportunities as well. But also it's like, hey, it's scary. I'm not going to lie. Oh, it's scary.
It really is. We come to varsity to kind of figure out our lives. And I feel like we leave varsity more confused than when we started. We really just get, well, like, wait. I came here thinking I'm going to be this. But now it's looking like I'm going to be something else. So what now?
Well, how do I go about that? You know, and it's like, you know.
You grapple with a lot. But I think... Yeah, but I do see this for you. I see international for you. Because of the fact that, like, honestly, you've thrived in every space you've occupied. So, like, it feels like a no-brainer.
Thank you so much.
Like, it feels like a no-brainer. I think, yeah, I see it.
Hopefully we all have our dreams come true.
You know the vibes.
You know? And, I mean, if we have to sell out at some point, well...
Might as well.
Might as well, child. Just look the other way and be like, well...
It'd be like that sometimes.
You know?
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't have to... You know, that's another thing about the industry. It's like having to support things that go against your own morals.
True.
Hey.
Yeah, it's a balancing act.
It's like working with brands, but that brand in itself is...
I mean, look at what the influencers are going through now.
Hey.
Being cancelled. And it was so easy, like, off of one campaign.
Yo.
Guys.
Ha.
Off of one campaign. Now all of a sudden you've lost everything. And also these things gain you money.
True.
Having a bunch of followers on TikTok and Instagram gets you a lot of money. So what does that mean? Now that you just went and you supported the wrong thing.
Ding.
Now everything is gone. Where do you have to start over from?
Because now, once you cancel, it's chai.
You. And South Africans never forget.
So.
They will never let you forget.
So it's just like, you shot yourself in the foot.
Please do your research, guys.
Yeah.
Please do your research about things, like, understand it. Also, because I think the term influencer has become somewhat derogatory. People have taken to calling influencers what they do, what they used to call slay queens.
True.
So it's a very different world now. Wait. Be careful.
Don't just work with anybody.
Yeah, no.
Read the fine print.
Please do. Even, you know, the terms and conditions. Guys, read the terms and conditions. I beg. Especially if you're doing a campaign. I think, okay, if you're going to, like, go into your phone and you're trying to just add a new app, whatever. Not really whatever. I'm actually a legal practitioner. I can't say that. I can't really say that out loud. I'm so sorry. Not whatever. But it often happens. But... understand the contract that you get into when you go into to campaign.
True.
And understand that some of these people contribute to like genocides, like in Palestine. Some of these phones you guys are advertising also contribute to what's going on in Sudan and in the Congo. So what must happen? Read, guys. Eat. Please. Teach yourself how to read. I-A-E-O-U, basics. Let's get back to it.
Because we can't be out here being like, I didn't know. Sometimes, and I feel like that's one thing we learned from that controversy. The excuse of, I didn't know, is not enough.
Yeah, it won't suffice.
Because what do you mean you didn't know?
Yeah. Especially because apparently there had been an investigative report way before these people came out with the campaign. So it was just like, all you had to do was search the name of the program and you would have seen how it's linked to fraudulent activities.
True.
And it's like, guys, what are you doing? You're embarrassing us in front of the world.
Honestly, like, come on now.
Cyan Bougie just had them saying, oh no, by the way, like, girls are treated equally. That's the measure of how great the program is. They're treated equally. That's deep. That's dark. Guys, stay home.
Like, come on.
We have Section 9 of our Constitution. Equality is actually, like, equality is a thing here. Please, guys. Please, don't do this to yourselves.
Because
it's very... I think also the supporters of these influencers also kind of got the brunt of it. Because you can imagine if you took up that job and now you're stuck in Russia.
Yeah.
Now your family has to buy you back and you were literally trying to make earn a living for them. Now they have to buy you back with money they don't have.
Like, how do you even go about doing that?
Who? And imagine if your parent is in the automotive industry. They get retrenched. Now they have to buy you back from Russia because an influencer set you up. Oh! Guys.
All these problems are just connected.
Don't do it. Don't do that thing. I really hope we're going to see things out.
Because at the end of the day, hey, it's... Yeah, no, we've been... This industry that we live in sometimes.
Yay, it's not cute. You know what? No DNA, all RSA, but sometimes, guys, RSA needs to do better.
Yeah, we really need to do better. But just a little quick good news, just to end it off on a nice note. Actually, in Joburg, actually, there's going to be an operation.
Okay.
An operation of its first kind, because a teenager from KZN is scheduled to be the first individual in South Africa to undergo an ear reconstruction surgery using the support technique, which basically kind of, the support technique takes like cartilage from like one of the body parts, like a rib, and uses it as like reconstruct the ear.
Oh, nice.
And that's never been done before in SA in one operation, because usually it takes like three. But now it's one operation.
Come through, innovation.
Like, come through. Now, it will be led by the ear, nose, throat surgeon, Dr. Duane Moll, at the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital in Joburg. And the best thing about it, she doesn't have to pay.
It's
all free.
I like that.
I love that.
Oh, wow. We're breaking ground and we're doing it for free. Shout out.
Because it was actually funded by the Ear and Eye Clinic in Alberton, because they saw that, you know, listen, originally such operation is going to cost an arm and a leg.
Definitely.
And even, I feel like, I don't think medical aid would even cover that.
I don't think they'd try to even.
Like,
they would let you know, like, you ain't got no ear, babe.
Which is also another topic itself. Medical aid these days, what's going on?
You? And they're also very expensive. What kind of starter pack is 1,000 rand for one person?
Listen. And in the starter pack, you can't get new glasses. You can't get medication.
Exactly. It's just like basics. Go to a doctor, come back. So what must happen? I must just stay at the doctor. Like, pay out of pocket. Oh, ew.
Honestly, it's not looking good. It's not looking good. But it's amazing to hear that, you know, such an operation is happening in South Africa for the first time. And it's free of cost. And it's happening to a girl who really needs it.
Oh, wow.
It's so beautiful.
I love that.
I love it too. I feel like... And it's a nice way to end off, to like, you know what, there's some hope.
We started with good news. We're ending with good news. You know, shout out to the girlies. You guys are actually the reason why we're smiling. It really should be Women's Month every month.
Literally.
I love that.
I love it. I love it indeed. But of course, we've reached that point where it's time to love and leave you.
Ish, we must say goodbye. Ish. Even though we don't want to, we must.
We have to. But Kat, where can they find you on the social media platforms?
You can find me on Instagram as Girl with the Nice Pants. Anywhere else, it's not me. I might be on Facebook. I really am not sure. I think so. But I also don't know, like, for sure. I could be on Facebook. Just search the name. But also, just stick to the Instagram, guys.
It just keep it simple.
I'm already struggling as it is with the Instagram on its own. I'm already being shouted at because I don't post. So, let's stick to the Instagram.
All right.
Trust and believe. I respond to DMs.
Period.
So, don't be nasty.
Yeah.
Behave.
How? Keep it classy.
Behave.
How? Hey, people get crazy.
Yo.
Like.
Oh. I want to lick your toes. Relax. Relax. Sit still.
How?
Please, where can we find you?
Of course, you can find me on Instagram at ketela.trigo and on Facebook at Trigo K Ndlovu. But listen, this has been an amazing episode.
I've loved being here. Like, I've missed you.
I've missed you too.
It's been too long.
Like, hey, and there's one thing I also thought about now, but hey, we'll save that for next time. The Bella Act.
Ooh.
The Bella Act.
Don't get me started.
But, hey.
Do not get me started on that. Child, I have so much to say already.
But of course, same time, same place next week as we say bye.
Deuces.
The best youth station in the Bay.